You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're almost there. Kansas City, this San Francisco, Super Bowl 58. We are on Sportsmanlike. Presented by Progressive Insurance, we're live from Vegas East, Bristol, Connecticut. Normally, we are at the Seaport with Evan Canty and Michelle, brought to you by Grey Goose. Today, here in Connecticut, had a great night last night out at dinner, where somehow a Julius Randle debate broke out on Canty's side of the table, CC and I over there. And
well, we were just counting down until Julius Randle is traded in a package to the Milwaukee Bucks for Giannis.
Yeah, that off-season trade discussions.
Well, I mean, you're saying hypothetical. At this point, it's starting to feel like inevitable. Did you see the Milwaukee Bucks last night?
They haven't played well with Doc.
Haven't played well is an understatement.
I like getting
Pat
Bev. They
got toasted by the Minnesota Timberwolves last night.
I do like getting Pat Bev. That's smart by them.
Lopez was reading a book on the bench.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, he got so Robin.
It's an NBA game, and you're losing so bad, you just go break open a novel.
Well, he's not on the team. He got traded yesterday to Sacramento. This is Robin Lopez. He got traded to Sacramento yesterday. Sacramento immediately waived him. He didn't leave Milwaukee, so he goes and he sits on the side. He's reading a book.
Great.
It was the greatest thing ever. Great. By the way, we just heard some Usher baby coming back as he's performing halftime. I threw out an idea that I think Usher should sing a little bit, like a tiny 10 seconds worth, and find a way to work in a Taylor Swift song in halftime performance. Mm-hmm. Maybe like the hook on Cruel Summer. Well, Cece, your reaction when I said this was what? The internet would blow up if he did
that,
break. Right?
He'd break
it's
the internet.
It's smart PR. Why not? Smalls hates this idea.
I hate it.
Why not work it in? I'm just saying, like, a quick, subtle reference to Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is a rocket ship.
Yes.
Like, anybody that is in her orbit is going to the moon. There's no question about it. Like, think about this. The NFL is a $20 billion, with a B, dollar business a year. And they got hundreds of millions of dollars in additional revenue this year just by association with Taylor Swift,
because
she's dating Travis.
And so why are you turning this down, Smalls, this idea? We're not saying he sings a full song, but like a tiny little slip-in.
Because for most artists, the Super Bowl is quite literally the top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. And you work your entire career to get the opportunity to perform at the halftime of the Super Bowl. And Usher has earned this. And just because she's dating a player that happens to be playing in the Super Bowl, if that was me, I would not want to detract from what I'm putting together by giving a nod to her. Because she's had her moments and can have her Super Bowl moment if she wants.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at it.
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can't usurp the fame of Taylor Swift. She's the most famous person on the planet. So to me, it's just like, I'm putting together a show. I'm a performer. She's got 13 Grammys. The Grammys were last week. So why not give an ode to her? Because her man is actually playing in the Super Bowl, which is the reason why everybody is in the stadium in the first place. Like, to me, it just makes sense to do it. And I can't wait to see it, because there is no doubt in my mind that that's going to happen.
That what, wow. He's going to
really?
Give a nod
there's
to
some
her?
Sort
yeah,
of homage?
There's no doubt in my mind that that's going to happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, think about it. The NFL is leaning in. Who's the one that picked Usher to do the Super Bowl? The NFL. I wouldn't be surprised if Goodell and his staff is like, hey, bud.
You have to do this.
You have to do this. Like, this ain't your choice.
You better sing Cruel
this
Summer.
This ain't your choice. We can't have her do this halftime show. I don't know. It might be some conflict of interest with her Eras Tour and the movie and all. So if Taylor Swift is not doing the show, but she's there, you better give her a shout out, because it's good for business. What are those Super Bowl ads selling for 30 seconds of commercial time in the Super Bowl? It costs $7 million.
We'll give it to you for less, by the way, on Sportsmanlike. Just throwing out, not much less. We'll go for $6 million.
That's because of Taylor Swift. Like, there are two health and beauty brands that have never bought commercial time in the Super Bowl, but they're buying it this year. Why? Taylor Swift. So if you're Usher, it's just good business.
I like this
it's
angle.
It's good business.
I like the angle that CeCe evolved this into, that Roger Goodell has a sit-down meeting with Usher, and he says, Mr. Raymond, you're going to have a cruel summer.
Yeah.
And your karma ain't going to be good, and we're going to have bad blood unless you put this in there.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
We're on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN2. So the matchup you're most looking forward to on Sunday, right? If you pick a Super Bowl matchup, however you want to look at it in terms of a position set, whatever it may be that you would look at, I'll give you this one. To me, my first one that I thought of in terms of the matchup that you're most looking forward to on Sunday, Kyle Shanahan versus situational football late. Seriously, how many times have we talked about Kyle Shanahan and blown leads, 10-point lead in the Super Bowl with the Niners against the Chiefs, 28-3. Kyle Shanahan with the lead against situational football late. That's my matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing. I'm just sitting here. I'm caught off guard because you're saying it's not Kyle Shanahan versus Andy Reid.
Nope.
Not Kyle Shanahan versus Spags.
Nope.
It's Kyle Shanahan versus the game of football.
Versus Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know.
Raymond versus Raymond?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
I mean, Smalls and I sit next to a Super Bowl champ every day, and in the 6 a.m. Eastern hour today, what you said is, if the Niners don't win on Sunday, you're assuming it's because Kyle Shanahan spits the bit a little bit.
No
did
doubt.
You not say that?
I did say that.
So that to
and
me,
I stand by it.
Yeah, and that's the matchup. Kyle Shanahan against situational football late.
Yeah, I don't trust Kyle Shanahan in big games. I don't trust
the matchup.
Like, you don't trust him when he has a big lead. You also don't trust him when he's playing behind. When he goes into the fourth quarter and he's down by 7 points or more, Kyle Shanahan is 1-31 lifetime as a head coach. 1-31. You can't win more than one game under those circumstances, bro. Not more than one. Come on, man. Like, I cannot trust Kyle Shanahan. The game management aspect of this is going to be absolutely critical. And Joe Fortenbaugh, I can't get this out of my mind, but when he was on with us last Friday, he said that he would pick the Chiefs in the first half spread because Kyle Shanahan in these spots coaches tight. Joe is a professional sports handicapper. This is what he does to make money. And he's saying this has to be baked into it. This is a part of the math that Kyle Shanahan coaches tight in these spots. So, yeah, my biggest question mark around the 49ers is not Brock Purdy because I don't think the game is too big for Brock Purdy. I do wonder if the game is too big for Kyle Shanahan. I do. But the matchup that I most want to see is the wide receivers from the 49ers against the DBs for the Chiefs, specifically the corners for the Chiefs. So it's Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk versus L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. Why? Because the Kansas City Chiefs have the 7th highest blitz rate in the NFL, and that's probably only going to go up for Spags because you lost Charles Omenihu in the conference championship game. He tore his ACL. That's a guy that provides 7 sacks, but he also provides some balance in terms of your pass rush with George Karloftis and Chris Jones. Now that he's gone, I'm anticipating that they're going to have to send 5 and 6 rushers more often, which means one-on-one coverage on the outside. Can those corners tackle those wide receivers? I think the key to the game is going to be that matchup, and whoever wins it is going to go a long ways to determining the outcome.
I like that. I think I'm going kind of similar to Evan, how you went Kyle Shanahan versus Kyle Shanahan. I'm going Chiefs offensive skill players versus their hands. Are they going to be able to hang on to the ball? Because I'm a big, if you show me who you are, I should believe you type girl. And during the regular season, this group showed us who they were.
Yep.
Now they bucked that trend in the playoffs and have been able to really step up and take care of the football. But which version of them are we going to see in the big game on Sunday? And if it's the regular season version of them, can Patrick Mahomes find a way to overcome that?
Can I ask a stupid question, but I've asked this before about this. Why even bother throwing to the wide receivers not named Rashee Rice? Why? You have great running backs out of the backfield.
Because you can win the game.
Like you have MVS, Travis Kelce.
Like MVS did last
week. Okay, well, I had to in that spot if I'm Kansas City.
You can win the game. Well, think about how many times you had to because he was the guy that was left open. You had to against the Philadelphia Eagles. If he caught it, you would have won. You had to against the Green Bay Packers. If he would have caught it, you would have won. So there are going to be instances where that third or fourth wide receiver is going to have to make plays. Even going back to last year's Super Bowl, Kadarius Toney had to make plays.
Mm-hmm. So, he was good last year. He had a huge punt return last year, and he had a 5-yard touchdown pass, the only pass he caught, which, by the way, is a whole different thing. Roster composition we haven't even gotten into. Would you activate Sky Moore / Kadarius Toney if you're Kansas City?
I'm not putting Kadarius Toney out there.
So he's done.
No, he's done.
No, you can't trust him. Now,
no.
Sky Moore, who's been hurt, but they just took him off IR?
He's a second-round pick. At some point, he's going to have to contribute.
So you would have him on the active roster?
I would have him on the active roster. I mean, you've got a spot because of Omenihu being down.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I guess you would have to rely on him. But there's going to have to be somebody that's unsung that makes a play. It happens every single Super Bowl. And so, to me, it's in that wide receiver room for the Kansas City Chiefs. I know what Travis Kelce is, but you know who also knows that? The San Francisco 49ers.
Of course.
And Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw ain't going to let him beat them. It's not going to happen. So it's going to have to be on somebody else. Those young wide receivers are going to have to step up, and Patrick Mahomes is going to have to be at his best. But here's the thing I would say. The pressure for the Kansas City Chiefs wide receivers gets ratcheted up the tighter the game gets. And so that will be a concern for me if they have to play from behind. That's why the complexion of the game matters so much. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for both offenses for different reasons to get out to a fast start and get up on the opponent early. I really, really do. For the 49ers, it's the Kyle Shanahan of it all, so he doesn't coach tight. But for the Kansas City Chiefs, it's so those receivers aren't put in pressure-packed situations where you could have some of those drops be a factor. Mm-hmm.
Tom in Maine, watching on ESPN2, joins us here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. What's up, Tom?
Thanks for taking my call, guys, and Michelle. I just wanted to say, as it relates to the game on Sunday, my pick is Kansas City Chiefs, and it's for the following reasons. I think, number one, they've shown that they can take this show on the road and win against high-quality competition. If you look at San Francisco's schedule this year, I think they beat the Steelers in terms of playoff teams. I think they beat the Steelers away early in the season, and then I think they beat the Eagles late in the year, and we all knew what happened to them. But other than that, it's been pretty Spartan in terms of who they had to play. Secondly, I think Kansas City has shown they can win from behind and they can win from ahead. And I've just heard everybody on your show talk about how the San Francisco 49ers cannot get behind in this game. And I don't think necessarily you can make that statement about Kansas City. Third, they got the it factor on the field, and that's not unimportant. Think about the games with the Joe Montanas, the Tom Brady's at the end of the game, and their ability to sort of almost will their offensive team down the field. I don't kind of think that the San Francisco 49ers have that player. You guys just touched on what I think is probably the most critical factor in the game, and that's coaching. And I think, Evan, in my opinion, that Andy Reid, Spags, and the rest of the team, special team guys, are probably as close to their ability to game plan and make adjustments in a game as Belichick, Daniels, and I forget the guy who was the defensive
Brian
coach.
Brian Flores was probably the best one they had, you know, after Romeo Crennel. But yeah, I think those are all, and thanks for the phone call. Those are great points all around. Mm-hmm. I think what you learn about Kansas City is there's no scenario where they can't win.
Yeah.
Ahead, behind,
yeah.
Home, road, snow, rain, sunny. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They'll find it. But I do, you know, he brought something.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. He brought something up that I'm fascinated about quickly here, CeCe, because we got to get to Canny or Canty. Do both teams look at the Super Bowl as road game as a road game? Or is it a home game for?
It's really a neutral site. Like, I mean, by definition, it's neutral site.
Yeah.
But the crowd is neutral too.
Well, it's not like a football crowd.
Yeah,
it's a business crowd.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So it's not even home road. It's so unique in that regard.
It's so unique in that regard. It's an odd kickoff time. It's an experience unto itself.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Coming up, can he or can't he? A Super Bowl edition next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. Canny?
Canny? Or Canty? This is not hard-hitting analysis. It's not that.
Can he or can't he?
That is the question.
Canny or Canty, brought to you by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by today. Smalls has can he or can't he questions. CeCe, Smalls?
Take it away.
I absolutely love this crop of questions for Can He or Can't He Super Bowl edition. So let's kick it off with this one. Can Brock Purdy be the reason that the 49ers win the Super Bowl?
Oh, I actually think he's going to have to be because the Chiefs defense and Steve Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, they're going to take away the fastball, which is the running game around Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. So Brock Purdy is going to have to have productivity in the passing game. And with those receivers, there's no reason to think that he can't get it done because he's gotten it done all year long. One thing I will say is those corners from the Kansas City Chiefs are really, really good. But if the 49ers do win the Super Bowl, he's going to have to play a big role in doing that. So I'm going to say he can.
I definitely think he can. I think he's going, not only can, I think he's going to, and I think he's going to be the Super Bowl MVP.
Okay.
Next one, can Kyle Shanahan outcoach Andy Reid?
Hell no, he can't. No, he can't. The best thing that Kyle Shanahan can do is not get in the way of his players. And here's the thing, good players can't overcome bad coaching. And I'm not going to say Kyle Shanahan is a bad coach, but I just don't need him to be at his worst in this spot. If he's just average, then the 49ers will be fine. What we don't want is Kyle Shanahan to turn into a pumpkin on Super Bowl Sunday and go into a shell and then ultimately cost his team an opportunity to win.
I don't think he's going to outcoach Andy Reid. I still think he's going to win. I don't know if he has to outcoach Andy Reid. I agree with what CeCe said. Just be what you've been. You don't need to be the greatest coach of all time. Just be what you've been.
Can Patrick Mahomes throw for over 261 and a half yards against the 49ers?
He can't. And it's not because he doesn't have the ability. I just don't think that's the game script that Patrick Mahomes is operating off. If you look at the loss to the Bengals in the AFC Championship game a few years ago, since then Mahomes is 6-0 in the playoffs, and he's averaging around 235 yards passing in games. He's got 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, he's only taken 5 sacks. So I don't think Patrick Mahomes is thinking that he has to light up the box score in order to win. I think we saw a glimpse of what he wants to be in the conference championship game against the Ravens. Get out to a quick start, and then you nurse a lead. That's what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. Most importantly, he's not turning the football over. And the Kansas City Chiefs, they're 25-1 over the last 5 years when they don't turn the ball over. 25-1. He's not worried about yards. He's worried about turnovers and putting his team in position to win.
He can, obviously, because he's Mahomes. But I like what CeCe said, and I like the game plan against Baltimore. Just do what you need to do to win. You don't have to have a spectacular game. You have to have a winning game. And that's what he had against Baltimore.
Can Brock Purdy throw for over 248 and a half yards against the Chiefs?
He can. I think that's how the game script is going to go. Again, Spags loading up the line of scrimmage, putting a lot of defenders inside the tackle box. That's going to force the San Francisco 49ers to throw the football. And I think there'll be opportunities in one-on-one, opportunities in man coverage. They'll have slants. They'll have in-breakers, crossers, rub routes, all of those things, man beaters. And those receivers for the 49ers would catch and run opportunities. So I'm not saying that Brock Purdy is going to air it out over the top, but I do think there are a lot of catch and run opportunities that are going to stack up yards in the passing game. So, yes, Brock Purdy over, what is it, 248 and a half?
248 and a half.
Yeah, he's over 248 and a half yards pass.
He can over. He's a point guard. He's going to let his shooter shoot. And that's what CeCe's saying is he could dump it off to Christian McCaffrey on a five-yard pass, and he can go 60. Yeah. Well, that's going to add up to get over that number.
Brock Purdy, make it rain.
Speaking of CMC, can Christian McCaffrey rush for over 90 and a half yards against the Chiefs?
He can't because they're going to take him away. Like the one guy that you can't let beat you is 23, and Spags knows that. And so I don't anticipate it's going to be a big game on the ground for CMC. Not at all.
I'd say can't. Total yards, yes. Rushing yards, no.
Travis Kelce, can he catch for over 70 and a half yards against the 49ers?
Ooh, that's right on the nose. I'm going to say he can. I'm going to say he can because I know they'll try to take him away, but Travis does so many things off script and a lot of the route concepts he breaks off anyway. So him and Patrick Mahomes play backyard football like it's nobody's business. It kind of reminds you of early Roethlisberger's years where he had those off-script plays where he's extending the down, scramble drill. You see a lot of that between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. You saw it in the conference championship game on that key third down conversion in the red zone. Like, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think Travis has a couple of those, and they are big gainers. So he goes over 70.5 yards receiving.
I'll take over. He had 11 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown against the Baltimore Ravens. I think that if—
It won't be that kind of game.
No, but I also think that if you're— If you're debating what to do if you're Mahomes, just go to Kelce. Like, I'm okay if you force the ball to Travis Kelce because he's going to make plays.
Can Patrick Mahomes pass Tom Brady as the GOAT?
No.
He can't. Not in this game. He's going to be on a trajectory, and it'll be definitive that he will have a better first 6 years to his career as a starter than Tom Brady has. And that's saying a lot because Brady won 3 championships. So, yeah, I think at the same stage in their career, there's no question in my mind who the better player is, and it's Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Now, he's got to sustain that, but I don't think he can pass him as the greatest of all time by just winning this Super Bowl on Sunday.
Totally agree. If the answer is, can he pass him as the GOAT Sunday? No. Can he pass him as the GOAT ever? Maybe. Not Sunday.
All right, let's roll through some fun Super Bowl prop bets, gentlemen. First up, will Taylor Swift be seen crying if the Chiefs lose? No. Is that minus 1,500? Yes, plus 600.
No chance. Crying if they lose?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are real tears. Well, I don't know how real they are. There will be tears.
Yeah, she'll be
Even
she'll be
if
crying.
It's just performative, there'll
really?
Be tears.
She'll be crying.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. There's got to be an investment in this thing. Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah. I don't know on that. On
yeah, there'll
I
be
would
tears.
Actually be floored if they didn't show her after.
Yeah, did you see her at the Grammys? She stood up and sung every single artist she
move.
Saw when they were performing. Every single one.
That's her move.
That's a long damn award show, man. Yeah. And you standing up, clapping and singing every artist is on.
I felt badly for the people.
You don't think she's going to perform if her man loses? Man, you better know she going to have them crocodile tears on. The faucet will be on the Chiefs lose on Sunday.
She's an elite performer. She
no
knows
doubt.
What's required.
She knows what's happening.
I felt badly for the people behind her because she's so tall. Like, how could they see? They're sitting behind her, and she's standing up. Like,
I don't
excuse
think
me,
felt, I don't
Taylor,
think,
can you move?
I don't think they felt bad sitting next to Taylor Swift.
Understood.
Yeah.
Next one, will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift and win MVP? Yes, is at plus 2,200.
Isn't it the same thing? I mean, if he proposes and he says yes, I don't give a damn what else happens in the game. Travis Kelce is the MVP. I got a pop star who's the most famous person on the planet and a billionaire in her own right mm-hmm. willing to marry me. And I play tight end in the NFL. Man, he's the MVP. It ain't Patrick Mahomes. It ain't Rashee Rice. It ain't Chris Jones. It ain't nobody else. If Travis Kelce gets a ring from winning the Super Bowl and then gives Taylor Swift a ring and she says yes, he is the MVP of Super Bowl 58. Point blank and period. He can. I'm saying it with my chest.
If he proposes to her after the Super Bowl, I'd be so down on him.
On the field?
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Why?
Oh, my God.
Why?
That's for you and your teammates.
Why are you down
Separate
on love?
The
why
two.
Are you down on love?
I'm not down on love.
Totally down on love.
He's down on love.
He's down on love.
He's down on love. Why are you down on him?
I am not down on love in any way, shape, or form. Here's the thing. That's the moment for the team and the player.
No, it's not.
Separate the moments.
No, it's not. No, it's not, because that's why your family comes on the field after the game. What are you talking about?
They were smooching after the NFC Championship game.
Proposing in that moment?
Absolutely. The sheer elation that you have in winning the Super Bowl, and you just want to share that with your closest people, that is an intimate moment.
I agree. You don't need to propose, though. In that spot, I don't like it.
My question is, where would he keep the ring?
Well, I'm sure Jason or somebody else would.
You have somebody else.
Jason would
have
it.
You have your wingman. But
what do you think? You would have it in his jersey?
Give it to the equipment manager.
But the
equipment manager.
This ring is not going to be cheap. Do I really want to give it to my brother Jason, who might be ripping his shirt off and
jumping
through tables?
You give it to the equipment manager. They'll take care of it.
You know what? I think I'd give it to Kylie Kelce.
What about Donna,
that's a
the
good
mom?
One. Kylie Kelce, that's a good one.
She looks very responsible.
As Pat Costello in the control room nods his head and like, yep. Yeah, she's the sober-minded one.
That's
yeah.
the one.
And she'll make sure that nothing happens.
Correct.
To her. No question.
Canny or Canty, brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions
Evan
for every
hating
industry.
On love.
Down on
Grainger
love.
Has
Such
the right product
hater.
For you. Call, Down click Grainger.com or stop by today.
Such a hater.
Coming up, a Hall of Famer had what to say about his former team on this show. We'll get to that next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, America's team made a move yesterday. Kind of like it, by the way. Mike Zimmer, defensive coordinator under Mike McCarthy. That was your guy, right?
Old DC, yeah. Zim was there, yeah. Zim will get you right now. Zim will get you right.
Okay, he's a good coach. What does that mean when you say that?
No, Zim will get you right in terms of the intensity that he's going to approach the game with. Like, every player that has played for him loves him. Mm. Like, he's a good coach. I mean, you remember those years in Minnesota? He was a good coach.
Very good coach,
when he
was
a DC in Cincinnati, he's a good coach. Like, people love Zim. And so I think this is somebody that obviously is familiar with the organization, but more importantly, Jerry Jones is comfortable with him. So you bring him in. You know he's not going to usurp the authority of Mike McCarthy, who's already a lame duck coach. This is not somebody that's angling to be the interim head coach. But if he's thrust into that spot, he's not going to be overwhelmed. So from that perspective, it makes a ton of sense. And here's the other thing. It's probably about as good as you could do, because who wants to sign up to be the DC when the head coach has no job security beyond the upcoming year? So, again, somebody that's credible in the eyes of players and other coaches, who knows what he's doing, has been a long-time DC, has been a head coach. If he's got to step in as the interim head coach, if things go off the rails, he can do that. And he's willing, because he's familiar with the organization and he's comfortable. So I think it's about as good as the Dallas Cowboys could do.
Sounds like a perfect fit in a
lot
of ways.
It does. It does.
So there's the positive. All right, so we did. No, we're just putting the difference here. Well, the negative is this. Emmitt Smith, Hall of Famer, was on our show yesterday, and we asked him if he was surprised that Mike McCarthy was not fired.
To be honest, I am a little surprised, all because of the way things has transpired over the last 3 years. Removing Kellen as the OC and taking over the controls of the offense and so forth, I am a little surprised. The way our team exited out of the playoff, I'm real surprised, because to me, I look to my leaders, and leaders look to players to be ready and be prepared for the situations in all situations. And unfortunately for us, I don't know if we were as prepared as we needed to be. And the way we exited the playoff this year was not—it was not a good look, put it that way. And it was somewhat embarrassing. It lends you to believe that either we're not trained or coached properly in terms of game type of situations. At times, players do have to overcome coaching, because coaches don't always make the best decision. It's not a good look.
All right, guys, as we sit here 24 hours later, that clip was on First Take yesterday. Stephen A., Molly and company were debating that one. How do we take this 24 hours later as to Emmitt Smith taking shots at McCarthy, Dak, all of the above? Because those are pretty damn strong statements.
Yeah. Clearly, he doesn't think that Mike McCarthy should have been the head coach. When he says things like that was an embarrassing loss and even players can't overcome coaching, I think Emmitt Smith probably has the same mentality that a lot of Cowboys fans have, which is, if this isn't working, if it's translating in the regular season but stopping short in the postseason, season after season after season, why would you run it back? Why would you bring Mike McCarthy back? So I am not surprised that he thought that. I am a little surprised with the pointed words that he used to describe the situation.
Yeah, and he cited the example of the Detroit Lions game when they threw the ball on second down rather than running the ball, and you spotted the Detroit Lions an extra minute of game clock when they had no timeouts, and they proceeded to drive the length of the field, score a touchdown, and could have won the game had the guy reported for the two-point conversion. So That's how close you came to having to be a wild card versus being the division winner. Mm-hmm. And that's a decision that your head coach, who's also your de facto offensive coordinator, made. So that's a problem. But then beyond that, he went on to talk about the players sometimes having to overcome coaching and how they're the ones that are actually on the field and they're not getting it done too. And it felt like it was somewhat of an indictment on Dak Prescott. It felt like he was pointing the finger of blame at Dak, like, hey, if you're the guy that they're paying $40, $50 million a year to, you're going to have to step up in these situations and overcome some of the, you know, the bad coaching calls that Mike McCarthy might make. You're going to have to do that, because that's what's asked of players in leadership positions in your locker room. And Dak Prescott hasn't been able to do that. And when mm-hmm. you think about the playoff losses, they're in embarrassing fashion. What happened against the Green Bay Packers, there's no excuse for it. It's the youngest playoff team in the NFL in 50 years. And you got waxed at home by those dudes. Mm-hmm. That can't happen. What also can't happen is the end of the game in the divisional round in Santa Clara last year. That can't happen. Like, there was clearly no plan on what you were doing. And then you go back the year before that, the wild card game at home against the 49ers led by Jimmy Garoppolo. You got beat then, and it was terrible game management down the stretch. So again, these things keep popping up, and we're trying to ask the question, is it Dak or is it Mike McCarthy? And we're starting to land on the answer just being yes.
Yeah.
And it felt like that's what Emmett was trying to highlight yesterday. It's not one or the other. It's both of them. And they need to be held to account. And it's hard to understand what the path is forward if Jerry Jones is going to continue to double down.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it, you know, you say there's no excuse for it. Well, there was an excuse given. DeMarcus Lawrence, Cowboys defensive end, was on First Take yesterday on ESPN, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and gave us the reason as to what went wrong in the playoffs.
All honesty, I think the main thing is who's burned out, man. Long season, team dominantly healthy throughout the season. The legs get tired, but also, you got to give hats off to Green Bay, man. They came out with a great game plan, rolling out towards Micah and then running away from me. I feel like, that's what they needed to, get their game started, and they jumped on us fast. And
what about adjustments?
Yeah, adjustments, man. Feel like we went in the locker room and, we came out, ready with our adjustments, but still didn't go the way that we planned it to go.
Saying they were burnt out.
He just said they were burnt out and they were tired. Tired legs? Man, it's the playoffs, dog. Everybody is tired, but it's win or go home. Give a damn that your legs is tired. Sit in the cold tub some more. I don't care what you got to do. Get an IV, whatever you got to do. It is the playoffs. If the goal is to win a championship, you got to have success in the postseason. I don't want to hear the excuse about you being tired. But you know what, F? This is what I talked about when they stayed with Mike McCarthy. I talked about the culture. And people think culture is some catch-all and that it's not really anything tangible and people just use it to explain things they don't understand. But that is an example of the culture. When players are giving those types of excuses and when you're doing the post-mortem on their season, we're weeks removed from when you got beat by the Green Bay Packers. And that's what you got? We were tired? We were burnt out? No, man. No, man, even if that's true, you don't admit something like that. And if that is the case, then you talk about it in terms of how we've got to get this fixed. This can't happen again. That's not what I heard. That's infuriating. It's disrespectful to the game of football. You work all year long to have an opportunity to compete for a championship, and you're one of 14 teams left standing at the end. And you tired? And you burnt out? Because it was a long regular season, you can't be mentally locked in. You can't be ready to go from the opening kickoff. What the hell is wrong with you? And that's one of the team leaders. Tank Lawrence is one of the team leaders. And that's what he's saying. That's an embarrassment to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm embarrassed for him. I'm embarrassed that I used to play for him. Because that's what it is. That's what it is now. Ain't no way in hell they're anywhere close to winning a championship. I don't give a damn what the roster looks like. They're not close.
And if that is the culture that's there, how do you change that unless you have a new voice come in? And I think a lot of other players look at that tired feeling as a privilege, right? How do I overcome? I'm lucky that I'm tired because I'm in the playoffs.
Exactly. Smalls, it's an opportunity to compete for a chance. You make your legacy as a player in the postseason. Now you make your money in the regular season. Everybody want to get paid. So that's that. I know people don't want to hear this, but that is the top priority. Guys want to get paid. Guys want to feed their family.
Yeah,
that aside, once you start talking about the other things that matter, it's your legacy. How am I going to be remembered? Unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboys, this core of Cowboys players, will be remembered as underachievers. And what Tank Lawrence said on First Take yesterday, that is what people are going to remember him for. And I'm sure he's waking up this morning regretting that he said. That's what people are going to remember him for. This is the dude that says his team was too tired and burnt out to ball in the postseason. The hell is that? It's garbage is what it is. And if I'm Jerry Jones, these guys are angling for contract extensions. My other leader, Dak Prescott won money. Micah Parsons won money. CeeDee Lamb won money. But my locker room collectively is too tired and burnt out to play when it matters the most. please, miss me with all of that. Dallas Cowboys are a joke. They're a joke.
One potential counter-ish. Are we sure he meant that they were tired? Meaning burnt out also means tired of each other, doesn't it?
Could be a mental, isn't there a possibility?
Which, again, falls back on the coaching and the organization. I'm not defending them. I'm just wondering, we're taking it one way, which very well may be true. The other way also could be true, which is also a bad look, because I keep coming back to that broadcast where they're talking about there's something weird with CeeDee Lamb and Dak, and now all of the family members going at it. Like, burnt out means, like, to me, I take it as tired of each other, too.
He said burnt out, and then he mentioned his legs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, yeah.
So. He did.
I'm just saying that we've seen the other version of that a little bit, too. Like, tired of each other is what
either
we've
way,
seen.
Either way, it's an indictment on the leadership in your locker room.
100%.
Either way, your culture is bad.
I've defended Mike McCarthy every which way. That moment yesterday was the first moment where I said, hey, you know what? I can't defend you on that if that's the mentality of the players. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Coming up, I'm over it with Pat Costello.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, we do it each and every day at this time. Our producer, Pat Costello, gives us things, sports, world, entertainment that he's over. I must say, yesterday I was sitting there at the ESPN cafeteria with a very high-level executive that we all know. Pat walks by and she says to Pat, like, Pat didn't even see us. She goes, Pat, I got to tell you something, I'm over. And gave him ammo. Like, he just got,
really?
He almost got, like, recognized for being the I'm over it guy by as high up as you can get around here. But something is happening on the TV side on ESPN2, because normally we show Pat and he has your sponsorship here. He's looking for Carlin versus Joe sponsoring you now?
I'm over. It's brought to you by Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 on ESPN, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. If you want amazing breakdowns of sports, life, and betting, tune in to the best show on ESPN Radio. Again, Carlin versus Joe, noon to 3 on ESPN Radio.
Excuse?
How much does that cost?
Please don't be rude to the sponsor. Thank you.
Wow. What did they give you?
$20 and first dibs on any merch.
Who gave you the $20?
Carlin.
But you know,
he
wasn't
slipped
Joe.
It to me that yesterday.
You know, Joe is tight.
Wait a second, Carlin really gave you money?
$20.
So how long does the sponsorship run?
Just today.
Okay.
That's all you cost?
Yeah. That's what I've been saying, man. People can get in.
Gotta start somewhere. Wow. Gotta start somewhere.
Okay. So $20 a day?
Super easy.
I'm sure our sales staff loves that pricing.
$20 for 10 minutes seems like a fair deal.
Seems like a fair deal.
I mean, and we're going out of business if that's the deal. For 30 seconds.
$20 and merch. Let's not.
And merch. The merch part is important. There you go.
All right. What do you got, Pat?
Noon to 3, Carlin versus Joe. How does an Italian restaurant mess up lasagna?
Oh, boy.
How is this possible? Why was it green? How do you get lasagna at an Italian place that's in a circle and it's green? What happened?
I thought the food last night was great. I got to be honest with you.
You didn't have the lasagna.
Yeah, I know I did not.
But I did peek over at the lasagna. It did not look appropriate. Like, it looked wrong.
Were your two entrees good?
Well, the steak was but the ravioli was outstanding.
Yeah.
A little heat at the end of the ravioli bite, which was outstanding. It was unexpected.
I did notice something about you and your dinner, now that I think about it. you were asking for a sauce, and they couldn't come up with any sauce, which was really remarkable.
Yeah, I wanted like a demi-glaze or a peppercorn to go with my steak. I'm not a traditional steak sauce guy.
Right.
Like, I don't like A1 or Fines 57, but I did want something. You know, I do need a little
but
something
they couldn't
on the
come
side.
Up. They couldn't come up with anything.
Yeah, they offered me Worcestershire, and that wasn't going to be.
You don't like A1?
I mean, it's okay. It's okay. I'm not disparaging it. It's okay.
Wow.
I got it in the fridge, Smalls, okay. But I'm just saying when I'm at a fancy sit-down dinner, and I put that in air quotes, fancy, I would expect something more elevated, and they didn't have it available.
No demi-glaze.
But the steak wasn't elevated, so it makes sense. But it wasn't as bad as the lasagna.
As an Italian person, I will first apologize for your bad lasagna. Secondly, I never order lasagna at a restaurant.
Why?
I always think it's kind of a rookie play because you can always make it better at
baby.
Home.
Ooh.
It's well, always
we have
better at home.
Four people over there. Pat, Giovante, Nuno, and Rob, all over there, all order lasagna.
If they're not eating lasagna on the regular like I did growing up, it's a common mistake.
So
I'm not even
going to
put you on blast for it.
I lived in the Bronx, Arthur Ave right next door, amazing lasagna everywhere.
Course. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, Italian place, lasagna will be, that's a safe bet, always. Nope. Big mistake.
Yeah, but I mean, West Hartford is not Arthur
Ashe.
Yeah,
well, West
Hartford was beautiful, I thought.
Yeah, but it's not Arthur Ashe.
I got cacio e pepe with shrimp. That was good.
It was good.
Pepe,
yeah.
Should I have offered you some?
No.
Okay, good.
I mean, you ate it before I even had a chance
a great
to really
point.
See it. Anyway,
he was just offering it to you as the perfunctory. Like, it was just like one of those things I'm going to do. I'm not serious about giving you some, but at least I don't feel like the bad guy because I didn't offer it. But he wasn't serious about you actually having a bite of his food.
I never offered.
He wasn't. Well, you did offer the appetizers, and you really weren't serious about us eating those either.
That's true.
Because he dominated those.
That's true.
The flatbreads and then the shrimp thing.
That's true.
Exactly. He wanted it all for himself.
That's an ECL. An EVCO can't lose. Next one.
By the way, Carlin versus Joe, amazing.
Oh,
on
my
X,
God.
At Carlin versus Joe vs. Joe on X. Amazing Twitter account as well. ordering dessert when you're in a giant group of people is, I think, the ultimate violation as well.
Why?
I don't think this is acceptable.
CC and I both ordered dessert.
Yes.
We mean an individual dessert order and not a community dessert?
Individual dessert orders after everyone's done dinner.
Why not? Some people love a sweet bite before
completely
bed.
Ridiculous.
Why?
Because then there's 10 people sitting there like, all right, well, I guess we got to wait for these guys to eat their one scoop of vanilla.
You weren't paying. You didn't need to wait for the check.
That's what I'm about to
you
say. If the big boss is paying, I'm going to have all the courses that are available.
And you were the last one there.
You had two entrees.
Exactly. I'm going to take full advantage. I'm going to put my Giovante Lawrence hat on, and I'm just going to go for broke.
Good man.
Well, actually, I'm going to go to try to make him broke. That's what I'm trying to do. Exactly.
I'm not a drinker, so I didn't hear this exactly. I want to make sure I got it right. Were there rules about the number of drinks that Justin, our boss, was going to pay for?
Yeah, but we circumvented the rule by ordering bottles of wine, which we then shared at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys strategized
dispersion.
Against him.
No doubt.
Dispersion.
No doubt. No doubt. Because he was offering to pay for a round for everybody at the table. And we were like, don't worry about it. We'll just get a couple bottles of wine and it'll be nothing.
There you go.
Did you order the most expensive bottle?
No. We didn't.
No, actually, we could have and we didn't.
We didn't.
Yeah, that was good on us.
We played it down the middle with
all
it.
Right. Yeah. Next one, Pat.
At Chris Carlin, at Joe Gordonball on X, noon to 3. Great show. Carlin versus Joe. Rob Lorenzo, social media guru over here, said the worst thing that I've ever heard in my life.
Oh.
He questioned how good New York pizza is to begin with, and then had the audacity to say, the 7-Eleven across the street from me has pizza that slaps. And I almost slapped him when he said it.
Ooh. Yeah, nah, Rob. What? Nah, Rob.
He does have a 7-Eleven right across from him.
Nah,
I know where he lives.
Nah, Rob.
Flag on the play.
Nah, Rob.
Flag
that ain't
play.
It, Rob.
Yeah,
that
so
it, man.
I can go hours throughout a day without eating, so maybe 7-Eleven just hits different for me at different times.
Were you sober when you had the pizza?
Yeah, was it a fourth meal?
No. Yeah, I was
sober. He's not even sober now.
He's
not sober now.
If you don't know, then you weren't sober.
Yeah.
So listen, anything can hit when you had a few.
Yeah, if you're a tad overserved, any pizza's
good. Who cleared Rob for air, by the way? You don't just put him on the air here?
Also, can we be clear, Giovante went home and had pizza rolls after dinner last night as well.
Did you really?
Yeah, they were amazing.
I had mac and cheese.
Why are you snitching, Rob?
Totino's, if you'd like to sponsor Javante.
Why is Rob snitching, though?
Who cleared this guy from there?
Hold on, we can't let this slide. The fact that Rob Lorenzo questioned the validity and the deliciousness of New York City pizza.
Oh, yeah, we did get distracted. Good point, Smalls.
The audacity to compare it to 7-Eleven pizza.
I don't understand.
I am 7-Eleven's personally great, offended.
Not a pizza place.
Not a pizza place. And here's the thing. He lives near my favorite pizza spot in Manhattan.
Which one?
Oh, it's Ruby Rosa. It's on Mulberry Street. He lives near my favorite pizza spot.
I still need to get there.
Wait, your pizza place is near our office?
It's not that close.
It's not too far. It's not that close to the seaport.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's where Rob. Okay, I got it.
It's a stone's throw. Yeah, he can get there.
All right, we got to go there one day then.
Yeah. It's outstanding.
Would love it.
It's outstanding.
Rob cannot go, though.
No, Rob.
Now we're banning
uninvited.
Him. When we go to pizza to your spot,
I feel like
Rob's out.
I have to do a public service and take Rob there so he can
go
stop,
the other way.
So he can stop big up at 7-Eleven pizza over New York style pizza.
Well, preemptively, if nobody's going to eat this extra slice, I'll eat it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, last one. I'm officially over the Sixers. I'm completely out, and I'm all in on the Flyers bandwagon,
but the
baby.
Sixers had a good day
Let's
yesterday.
Go. Here we go, Flyers.
Buddy, you don't like Buddy Hield?
Over the Winnipeg Jets
no
last
Buddy
night.
Hield? Not on the Buddy Hield bandwagon?
Here we go, Flyers.
Wow. They went over the Jets.
I'm emotionally investing
the Sixers,
in them.
I thought the Sixers had a good day yesterday, trade deadline. I think the Knicks had a great day yesterday, actually, until OG got
the
hurt.
NFL draft ain't too far away.
I'm ready to not be hurt by the Flyers emotionally. Anyway, one last plug I would like to say. Carlin versus Joe, thank you for sponsoring this segment. Noon to 3 on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Great show. Chris Carlin, Joe Fortenball, both on the show later, 8:30 and 9:15. I'm over it. Presented by Progressive Insurance.
I love how
more
those
More sportsman-like coming up next.
I'm over you.
ESPN app.
Unreal.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.